So I want to touch on the union of the Golem a little bit, at least, see what we can do with it. The union of the Minyan, the union of the Golem a little bit. So the Pesukim are, I mean, it's clearly something's jumping out at us, like, you know, the path that we're counted. So the first time we understand that Rashi says it was after the negam and klai, so there was Chetah Egel, where Rashi learns. This came as a, so the Russian wanted to know, like the Roya, which shows that he cares and he's concerned, so he counts. Why are we even counted again? So Ramban actually gives voice to this question. Ramban says, well, if you know, see, Tama mitzvah says, I'm not sure why we have this mitzvah to can't be counted. We understand there was a purpose of the Golem, and they had to be, you know, define which group they came from. I get that. Why is it important to know how many Jews there are in Klaiyasu? Okay, so what was the purpose? It's to give Klaiyasu a message, just to stop and think for a moment how much we've grown. You get up at a banquet, you know, and say, you know, we started this school with seven children around the table, and now we have 3 million children, right? Look at the chesed of Kadosh Baruch. I want to point out, by the way, that that's not so posh. You're allowed to count the children just for that purpose, right? Just to say you have a know of how many children, it could be an issue of counting, counting Kleisel is logically challenging. So now, Kachach B'Kach B'nei Esrim, we know the Rosh Hashanah says they should be counted to show kihum mashki lagoyim, that they were supposed to, that the Rosh Hashanah like fools the goyim to the point that they're going to be destroyed. Klaiyasu doesn't get the destruction. That's what Rashi means when Rashi quotes the Medrash, the version that counts them regularly. Okay. The person would come into the presence of the Av HaNeviim, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Av HaNeviim is the greatest of all the Neviim. And his brother, the Kedosh Hashem Aaron. And he comes and presents himself and says, I'm Eli Reingel. That'll be a source of merit to be known, to be connected to such people, creates a siyata d'shmaya for the person. So by doing this, each person was presented by his name to Moshe Aaron. When they would come to Moshe and Aaron, they would look at them in a positive way. When they would daven for them, and they would say, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kachem El Pamim, Lo Yam Yam Yisparchem, we should never go down, the Klaiyasu's numbers should never go down. And they would give the Shkolim as a Kofer. So maybe that's why this process took place. So fascinating thought, just that the Chassidim would point to this idea of the Ramban. You present yourself to the Rebbe, and there's a schus just being seen by the Rebbe. The Rebbe puts his eyes on you, and he sees you. So that itself creates a bond to a person who's Kaddish, and that's a tremendous schus and safe for Siyata Shemaya for the person. Right? Imagine the Sfaradim also would also be able to point to this, not just the Chassidim. Right? Okay. We didn't just go and say, listen, how many children do you have? How many members of the family are there? It was a derech kovid. Each person was able to be counted individually, etc. It's interesting. the Baal HaMachshava grapple with what exactly what, you know, we give time to mitzvahs, you know. It's hard to give time to mitzvahs because we don't know why the Rosham does something, but you know, there's a concept that we spoke of the want to give this over the day of time of a mitzvah, the flavor of a mitzvah. There's an issue of counting Klal Yisrael. Exactly what the issue is and how it applies is it's clearly there's a Gemara in Yomim, the more Yomim the Chabez, the more says there's an issue. The issue with the more says that they'd make a process of a lottery to decide who would get Trumas Adashin. More said they would put out their thumbs, they would count the fingers. The more said just count their heads, but you can't count Klal Yisrael. And it brings Psukim to prove that you can't count Klal Yisrael. So what's the Tama Mitzvah that you can't count Klal Yisrael? What's the reason behind it? So the Rebbe Chaim in Parshas Kisis says because of Ayin Hara, right? Because we have a concept of Sechamiyah and Rech Yeshevis that when they ask the Shunamis, do you have anything that you need? Speak to the general, to speak to this. He says, no, Sechamiyah and Rech Yeshevis, it's good to be part of the nameless, faceless body, and you come out being distinct, etc. We start looking at you independently and say, you look a little, you know, like, that's so good, you know, right? That's one explanation. There's one explanation that's the exact opposite. That, you know, somebody told me a good line, he says that, you know, his rabbi told him when he was a little boy, he says that, right, Jews count, you don't count Jews, right? You make Jews a number, okay, there's numbers, we're not numbers, we are individuals, each person is individually is something significant, so making a number is a problem. So that's the matter of saying, for whatever reason, the Russian had a need to count, but it had to be Dafka done in such a way, each person was, Dafka came in front of the Russian Aaron. We didn't just go in there and, you know, okay, listen, you know how many kids you have, you know, yeah, so tell me how many kids you have, you know, type of a thing. I just remind you, there's a nice, the Zayim Torah in this week's parasha brings a piece from Reb Lazer Telzer. He was the son-in-law of Reb Lazer Telzer. That somebody went to ask Reb Lazer Telzer, and Chazal said that the shisha was bekeres echad, like you know, that people weren't having sex tuplets on a regular basis. It can't be. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Rabbis are making up these strange things. He says it's a parasha pasuk, parasha b'midbar. What do you mean? He says, right, do the math. It makes a cheshbon over here in the parsha of how many Bukharim there were. Right? There was 22,273 Bukharim in Klal Yisrael. Right? From the age of 30 days and up. There were in Klal Yisrael 600,000 men from the age of 20 and up. So if you would project, if you include for 20 to 60. So you include the people over 60, include the people under 20, right? Maybe you'll argue maybe it was, you know, 900,000. Let's say of the men. I don't know, let's say, or something of that sort. So the ratio was that there were 22,000 Bukharim to 600,000 men, or, you know, probably more, right? So that's basically a ratio of 1 in 30. So that, now the average woman gives birth, let's say, 10 times. So the ratio, at best, right, should be 1 to 10. But the truth is some of them are girls. Actually, the ratio should be 1 to 5. Right? And here we have a ratio which is 1. So it says if an average, if you imagine that an average family woman gives birth, right, 10 times, and she gave birth 6 at a time, so she had 60 children, half boys and half girls, so the ratio of Bukharim to boys is 1 to 30. This is the fair shabbos. Right? Right? So I once heard from one of my older chaverim, and she was not the Rashiba and tells her she was Rav David Goldberg, he had a kasha on it. Because the psukim said later on that, you know, that the Leviim were going to be part of the Bukharim. But there was only 22,000 Leviim, and there was 22,273 Bukharim. So 273 of It says there was 22,000 Bukharim, 273 of Leviim, but 273 of them were Bukharim themselves, and they were part of themselves. They couldn't be part of other Bukharim. Means the ratio of Bukharim and Leviim was 273 Bukharim to 22,000. Right? Which is, if you do your math, right? Berich, that's, what is it? It's 273 is 1/4 of 1,000. So it's 88. It's 1 to 88. Now a lot of Mefarshim learned that the Bechar, that Levim, because they were not part of the Sheba, didn't have the special bracha of being Barshish Bekarazach. So how do you explain that there was only 273 Bechorim of Levim for 22,000 Levim? So that was his kasha. Good kasha. I don't know. He says the Teretz, but so. But the Rabban. The Rabban says over here that the point is not just say, well, you know. So tell me, can you tell me, you know, how many kids? I have 65 kids. You know that wasn't the point. We hope, first of all, could be they didn't know how many kids they had, but I'm assuming they knew how many kids they had. You know, right? You know, keep track of how many kids. It's a shisha b'karazechon. But assuming they knew how many kids they had, right? We didn't do it. Just tell me how many kids you have. Each one came and was counted independently, separated. Right? So they sort of count as kazaro because you're reducing. Not because you're taking this out, because we're reducing. It's one of the two opposites. The third explanation which they give, one of the questions that Dabar HaMelech counted, what was the time of Dabar HaMelech? So one of the explanations of the time of Dabar HaMelech was that he had no real need for it, he just wanted to be Mesameach to know how many people are in Klal Yisrael. So the Bereshim can say he wants to know how many people, right? But, well, he knew, so he can't say he wants to do it for himself. He wants to show to us his simcha. But the king should come along and say, I'm so happy I have so many members of Klal Yisrael. The principal should come along and say, I'm so happy I have so many kids in the school. That's not a valid need, necessarily. Okay, so that's what Rabban says. Rabban says that presenting himself to Moshe and Aaron is a tremendous thing. One explanation. That they should be understood as each being person being uniquely valuable and as opposed to just being lumped as a number. I don't know whether any of you have followed this. I used to be an avid reader of the Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown. So I don't know whether you remember this. There was a character in the comic strip called Five. His name was Five. A big five in a shirt. His name was Five. He says, they asked him, like, why is your name Five? He says, my father said, nowadays everybody's just a number anyway. Why should I give you a name? Just be a number. So his name was Five, right? So the Rabban is saying that the Torah is Dafka saying, no, you're not, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be just a number. And then you remember that? You remember, like, Five, number Five? Okay.
I remember all the other characters. I don't remember that.
He was there for a short, very short period of time. It was just a number. You know? So some of the Muslims have, like, low self-esteem, you know. I'm just a number, like. So this was an Asiyas Rosh, which the Medrash says Vayta, the Suas Rosh. Okay, so that's the idea of the some suggestions of the idea of the Minyan. Comes the Sprunah. He says like this. Let's start with the Suas Rosh, the first, and I mark that off. The Sadim Sheik comes to Eretz Miyad. They're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. The fine, each person is going to get their place in Eretz Yisrael. This is the plan. So we have to see. We're dividing our soul amongst these people. How many people are there? One of the Shvatim. This is all part of the process. The Umas are going to leave. Christ is going to go in. There was no war. It wasn't for war purposes because they weren't planning to go to war. But there was to clarify who it is. B'mispar Shemois. So the idea of a name, right, we've discussed the idea of a name before. The minister says that the word shame comes from the word shom. Right? Shom means that they'll be able to point there. So, in other words, so I asked you, have you seen this fellow? You know, he's like, he's 5'8". I one time answered the phone. I learned in Lakewood. One summer, I tells the Sheba that the Zman ends Chof Tammuz. Lakewood, the Zman ends Tisha B'Av. So there's basically almost 3 weeks left. So I got a ride the next day to Lakewood. I spent 3 weeks learning in Lakewood Yeshiva. This is in 1977. I think so, yeah. I think it was 77. And so I was there. They actually officially asked me to register. So I am an alumnus of Lakewood Yeshiva also. I registered, you know, in the office. I got the shush to get a bed. Fine. In those days, downstairs in the main base medrash, there was a series of phone booths. You know, I walked by one time and the phone is ringing. So I answered the phone, right? So a woman is looking for her husband. So in those days, the yeshiva with the curler was about a little bit over 1,000. Okay? So I says, I'm not familiar with your husband, it's other name, and I'm not familiar with Donald from here, because can you describe him to me? She says, well, black beard, glasses. I said, ma'am, you know, you realize there's about probably 340 people in this building who meet that description. Tell me which kibbutz he's learning in. Right. Then I can, you know, I can go to the people of that chabur. I know where the chabur is. We're in base matters. The chabur learning yeshiva sata is over here. Chabur learning, you know, whatever. This sata is over there. Oh, he was learning this. So whatever. This is, you know, do you know so and so? He has a phone call. And that, you know, that worked. Right. So I start describing a person to you. It's very difficult. But if I know the name, it's very easy. So and so. So Shom is the shame is the way to say there he is. It's right there. I can very easily point to him who he is. But the idea of a shame is used to describe the veidoachal b'shem. I know you through a name. It means it's not just a convenience. We put a name on something. This name described the person. So if we have a person named Suriel ben, you know, so that was describing the person. That was part of his being, was described by the name. Tikur Shamas Boris, El Shemas Boris. The Kim that the Bereshim put names represent something. Meir Daik Bishmo. The Mor says a story that Meir was, when he hear a name, he would be Medaik Bishmo. So the Mor says a story that he copped a robber by recognizing the name was, you know, a name it sounded like, right? Kidor was his name, right? So he says, you know, it's an interesting name. Kidor, it says Kidor, it's referring to Pose, Kidor Tapuchazem. There's a generation of people which do flip things around, etc. So he was able to count that this guy's not safe and he didn't put his money by him, and the more it's a different time. Put the money by him, the whole story, right? Good. So he's Madaik Bishmo. It says Ruth is called Ruth because she was out from Ruth came David HaMelech, who was Mirava al Kaiser Revoya. He filled up the Breshams with Shiras and Tishbach. Saying Mr. Arshimer's Kleisel was counted by Shemans. Every member of Kleisel had a name. Every member of Kleisel was indicative of his godless, his surah, of his definition. The lotion of Yediyah is an intimate understanding of something. There was he knew her. So it means, because it's referring to having intimacy. So it means the point is because it was an intimate knowledge of the person. It wasn't just a physical act. It was a bonding of an understanding of, between two individuals. He understood her. And truly understood her what she was. So Yidoach HaBashem is a lotion of Yidia B'Shem. It means a true understanding of somebody. Look, Karakain, King Karl of the Dor Bayot, then they died in the Midbar. The next generation, later on in Parshas Pinchas, the people which going there to Israel, it doesn't say B'Mitzvah Shemos. It says, there it says the leaders of the families, and it says how many people. It doesn't say, mention the word B'Mitzvah Shemos. But it did point out that, you know, that they were not just a faceless, nameless thing. The point was, you will all be, you're significant enough that you're going to be guaranteed that you're going to survive and go in safely. It's a fascinating idea that the Dibbim Yisrael Shemois was something which isn't always guaranteed. The support at the beginning of Parsha Shmois does the same thing. Especially B'nai Yisrael, so not everybody was zechut to have a shame, but the Shvatim were zechut to have a shame. So it means the curve that from the generation from the Shvatim until they left, I don't know what it was, but this generation did was zechut to have a mile of each person having a mile of shame, that there was something unique and special about the name, each person had a name which was appropriate for the person. Famous Arizal says when the person is about to give the name, there's a certain nevuah which is nisukab into the father's mouth, and he says the name. And I've actually had a few situations where we had, you know, talking about changing names. That's why changing names is not very, you know, the Muslim somebody is very ill, the idea of changing a name. I know that, you know, by literature, we did it. I mean, Shira Klein would do it. I remember he did it multiple times with different people. He added a name. In Skira, they won't do it. Because a name represents a person's purpose in this world. And if you change the name, you're changing that. So you're arguing, well, the person is deathly ill, let's change the name. You know, so we're not such a bucky to know whether the next name will make it worse or better. So don't shepherd. You know, putting a name in somebody is not a simple thing. I just had a fascinating... That being said, you know, there is a way to change a name. Luckily, to change a name. I had a person name his daughter or something, and he changed. He didn't like it afterwards. There was a disagreement with the husband and wife about the whole idea, etc. They end up changing the name. There's a process how to do that. I recently had a halacha shaila about a young woman who was named whatever she was named, and her sisters came along and said that they have a Sara and a Rachel and Leah in the family. They want to have a Rivka, so they started calling her Rivka. And that's not what the parents named her. But they got all their friends to call her Rivka. Then the teacher started calling her Rivka. Then the parents started calling her Rivka. Now her name is Rivka. Like, so what's her name? You know, says they changed her name. So sack is that they changed her name. But it's not such a smart idea to check her with a name. I had a mice attack with the Sker Rebbe. When I went to the Sker Rebbe in 1986, so my mother-in-law's given name was a Yiddish name. She came to America, she started using a Hebrew name. So everybody knew her by her Hebrew name. So I gave her my mother-in-law's and my wife's name with her mother's name. Let's see, could you give the mother's name? So, and I said that where she was in Europe, it says, was that the name they gave her? Because in that place, the tariff was much more to give Yiddish names than to give Hebrew names. He says, no. So he said, but nobody uses it anymore. And he said, no, that's the name. That's the name that he... Right. That being said, I had a mice with Rabbi Yaakov once. I went to Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yaakov asked me for my name. I told him, you know, the way my grandfather called my mother was Uda Feige. So Uda Feige. So he says... Ah, Rabbi Yaakov, with his knowledge of, you know, Jewish history, he says, "Matzem the nomen is given Hada." It's referring to the Baal Shem Tov's daughter was Hadol or Hada, Hada Feige. So it corrupted to Uda, to Ada. Mel became by Chassidish, Ada became Uda. So he says, "The nomen is Hada Feige." So that's the real name, you know. It's the real unit. That's what he told me. He's like, you know, so. What year was that? It was like 82. Yeah, something like that. But there's a musik of, you know, there's a powerful concept of a name. So I don't know what the supporter is saying, but there's a madrega of a name which the Torah is already going to recognize it as a name. And not just like, you know, but the Torah is saying each member of Klal Yisrael had a unique, special name which represented a unique, special function. Okay, I'm skipping the quiz to Yucker for now. So what's the, you know, so there's a medrash, which, let's see, Ruchem brings most of the medrash. Did I do this wrong? Yeah, I did it wrong. Okay, that's okay. I want to talk this perfect. A page, Chestes, in the Das Torah.
Yeah.
So, this is a medrash. It says, Isha el digla the base of his son. Adol d'chsev rana b'shu asecho, b'shem alahenu nivgol, y'malei shem kom b'shem asecho. We're singing your praises for the Yeshua that you gave to us. Now that what you did, with your name, we're going to be Meranim. It says, fine. The Russian put his name in our name, Yisrael, and he gave us the Golem. Now, Minayin Shehu Abba Yisrael. That the Golem represent the Abba. The Moshe Lamal Derba Derba La'osha Shoyer Lo Kachbar Kodesh Baruch Ayin Musa Bekulam Lo Motzach Hanoya Lebi Yisrael Shehebani Mesa Yayin Minyan Yayin Israel Ayin. The Bresham took place amongst all the 70 nations. Bresham took us Kulam Adig Lo Ayin Lebi putting a dagger on Klaisel. That was Abba to Kodesh Baruch Dabar Achadig Lo Ayin Lebi Yeshu Mas Degolim Ein Chobi Velay Ela Degolim Shayakov. All the nations have their flag. The dagger of Klaisel is what I like. So there was 22 10,000. There was 220,000 malachim. Shenemar rechav alakim ribasayim alfei shina. Vayikulam asuim the golem, the golem. The malachim were set up in the golem. Shenemar dogume ravva. Kimushra asum yisrael shehem asuim the golem, the golem. Klaisa saw that the malachim arranged the golem. Yiskilam misavim the golem. Klaisa wanted the golem also. Amar halavai kach ananasu the golem kimoisa. Halavai we should become like the golem like them also. Kach demar abiyanam esayayin. Zaysinai shinil bayatara shinim shalayayin. Mani zavisa masis the golem. That which you wanted be the golem. And that's the pasuk says Nigo b'shem lekel Nigo. Miad hegdia Kadosh Baruch Hu some of Yisrael, but Moshe lecha say some of the Golem k'moshin isav. Klaisel designed the Golem, they'll get to be the Golem. And the Medrash continues, etc. So obviously the problem is like, what's so exciting about being the Golem? What does it mean the Malachim are the Golem? Like, what is the whole thing about? Okay. So. Going back to the, I think one day I didn't get this straight. Okay, the Sosemis, I guess, is a page before. Okay, so he brings the Medrash. No, Mishuzav Nitzav Ben Yisrael of the Golem Kamelach Yeshoris. So what's that? In the Golem Lamalachim Shem Nikroim Shluchim. So malachim are called malachim because the word malach means a shliach. Moshe says that the Moshe sent a malach to take us out of Mitzrayim, referring to himself. Moshe sent a shliach. A malach represents a shliach. So what it means they're a shliach means that they have it, that each one is given a job to do. That's what a shliach is. So the Malachim's purpose is to be the ones which guide the Hashpah for Kadosh Baruch Hu. They come and do a job. It doesn't mean they do a job. They don't do it with their hands. They act as the vehicle to bring that Hashpah for Kadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And Klai Yisrael actually acts as the vehicle to bring the impact of this world back to Shemayim. So, Chazal said that no two malachim can do the same shlichus. Two malachim are not sent to do the same shlichus. Rashi quotes in the Chumash. What's the pshat? Because a malach's whole being is a shlichus. So, if two malachim would both be sent for the same shlichus, they'd be the same malach. You can't be two of a malachim. And the point of the malach is a shlichus, so it's impossible. So the Malach's whole being is that he has that shlichus. That's his dagel. That's the Indian of a dagel. So what Klai Yisrael is asking to have the golem means that they're asking that we should also have distinct, clear function for each member of Klai Yisrael. That's how he says it. But Klai Yisrael, they need to be misakin themselves to be able to do that, and they did that, fine. So Ruchma says the same idea, basically. He says, so the Medrash clearly says at the beginning, they should be distinct. In the Karma, that there's an element of being independent. Each person is unique. Therefore, it's going to be visible. If each person will hold himself distinct, so that's going to allow him to be. Now, it's a fascinating thing. Like, how do you draw the line? Always grapple with this. How important is it to fit in, and how important is it not? If you fit in totally, then you're nameless and faceless. Right? If that's your whole focus, then we have cookie cutters. But every person sticking out, it's like. So in the Vardic did a fascinating thing. The Vardic was, they did not want to let other people define themselves. Them. So they learned not to be in a spoil. They did what they had to do, what was the right thing to do, whatever people thought is not irrelevant. So they would train themselves to not be in a spoil for what people think. So they go into the in those days a pharmacy only had medicine. Nowadays a pharmacy has a lot of other things also. And they'd ask for nails, like going to the carpenter shop. And they never laugh at them. It's like really funny. Like, but the point was, like, they were like, themselves, like, don't worry about what other people think. That being said, I remember once there was an individual who you'll judge yourself. And Mila Knight said her one time in the Shiva. Back and tells middle of the night said he went over to the bima in the middle of the night said like people sitting looking, he gave its major clap on the bima. Everybody like looked up and stared at him and he just walked out. Just so he doesn't care. Like that wasn't healthy either. Like if it tells a Shiva the Ezra's notion is in the back and it's raised up, it's like a second floor. So I remember one time, there's a halacha kishur where a person's davening slowly and he's behind the chazan, so he can't start davening Shemoneh Esrei in such a way that he's going to lose missing saying kedusha, etc. But you go out of the room where you're davening, you're allowed to start Shemoneh Esrei. You can't start Shemoneh Esrei late. The Aruch HaShulchan says if you start Shemoneh Esrei with the chazan, you start Shemoneh Esrei, but then you're nimshach vayter, you're in the shavayter. But if you're starting late, you cannot start in such a way that you're going to miss kedusha. So I had the problem that if I didn't make it to start with them on time, I would go out. So I went up to the Ezra's Noshim. So you look down in this sea of black hats. In those days, the ship was full. Right? I look out at the sea of, there's 400 black hats down there. One blue hat and one white straw hat. Right? That's what I noticed one time. So I said, the guy with the blue hat, he probably didn't even realize the hat was blue. Like, the guy was like, the Lewish guy sat and learned, he went, put a hat, happy put the hat in the right direction. Like, it was a blue hat, just wasn't time as mocking him the whole thing. The guy with the white straw hat. Now, I'm not saying you have to wear a black hat, but like, why do you have to stick out? Like, what's the goal? Like, what's motivating you? Like, Badafka. Like, that's not healthy either, Right, he's a good friend of mine, but he enjoyed the Badafka sticking out, Badafka, don't make me, do it. Right? On the other hand, if I have to sit there and define myself every single person, I have to be, that's what I got to do, You can't always be defining somebody by conforming. So atzmos is like a very, it's a balancing thing. Because I'll say, they didn't see that their job was to fit into Mitzrayim, but Dafka not. Shloshin Shmam, Mabusham, Lasharnam, right? So they, Bedafka, stayed Nicker. stood out. They were outstanding. Like, mitsuyan means outstanding. It also means they stood out. That's what the word outstanding because it stands out. Right? That's what the word means. When you said the golem shall malach yeshoris, kol malach malach la'atzmahu. Each malach is distinct. Kol malach malach yeshod degel shaloi. In malach echad misar bechaveru. Kol malach shlichus miyuchedus. In malach echad osu shtei shlichus. Vein shtei malachim b'shei echad. Mikol miskayim gavril, gavril miskayim refol kudaim. Ki atzmim heim. She atzmim lo yivoy yivoy b'shei echad. Their name represented who they were. Well, you know, the golem shalehem asher nisav yisrael yis with the golem. So Kleisod said, we want to be that as well. And then he brings the Sepurno that each one was a docha b'shem. Koshem b'shem ro'il l'shem ter la'atzmoy, degol la'atzmoy, evan la'atzmoy, gavan la'atzmoy. So Kleisod was distinct. Yaakovino gave, helped them define what that was, etc. So now, it's a dangerous thing, right? You can imagine taking 12 Jews, putting them around the table, and each one is, you know, clearly independent, clearly distinct, clearly, you know, they see the world the way they see the world, and put them together and try and figure something out, right? It's very challenging. So this, Rabbi Yaakov says a beautiful thought on the last page. I mean, it's that. Near Mesedar Shvatim Shimon is God after Reuben and Shimon. Now, God doesn't belong after Reuben and Shimon. Chronologically, he doesn't belong there. Regards to family-wise, he doesn't belong there. Right? He wasn't Leah. He wasn't one of the children of Leah. So Reuben, Shimon, God. Then you have Yehuda, right? Yisachar and Zvulun. So, I mean, why is God there? Teretz is, because later on, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun were one dagel, and Reuben, Shimon, and God were one dagel. So even now, in the first capital, when it counts them, it mentions God, number three, is indicative of the fact that this is all in preparation to make the dagel. So if this is the minyan which is there to make them the dagel, the set up the dagel, why is it now? They were in a tzva. It means each one was distinct. Why is it a whole year before we set up the golem? I'm thinking of the golem who appeared in Levavos. Each group was different. Each one had different characteristics, different goals. So therefore it comes out, the golem, garmel, appeared on the bubbles. They're not going to get along with each other. So that's really the problem. But they're all arranged around the Mishkan. It's the opposite. We have something which unites us and bonds us, that each person can bring their unique abilities and characteristics to help us accomplish and further the purpose of this thing which unites us and bonds us. They could not divide up Kleisel before you made the Mishkan in the middle. Before you had that bonding process of the Mishkan. Okay, so the beginning of Nisan, the Mishkan was set up. Beginning of Iyar, we started the process of the Golem. Beautiful thought. I was once asked to speak about in a situation where there'd been a machlokes in the community, and they were trying to come to some situation of resolution, moving on. I was asked to speak there, and so I said like this: we have a mistake when we understand about the concept of shalom. We think shalom means that there should be no machlokes. It says, "Asher shalom bimrum of yes, shalom aleinu." So Chazal said, "What does asher shalom bimrum mean?" It's a pasuk in the ear, right? Right. What does it mean? The matter says, just like in Shemayim, right? You have a malach which is a malach of Eish. A malach is a malach of Mayim. But asher shalom bimrum of, they're able to get along. So what do you mean they're able to get along? So it means that the malach of Mayim puts out the Eish. The malach of Eish burns away the water. The malach of Eish remains Eish. So it means lukewarm water, that the shalom is lukewarm water, that the Eish burnt the water a little bit. Like, what's shalom? The malach of Eish remains a malach of Eish, the malach of Mayim remains a malach of Mayim. But they learn how to get along. Kaisel's tzura is not a tzura of everybody agreeing. It's a dafka tzura where people disagree. It's a dafka tzura that they're shvatim, a dafka tzura where each person has their own, each shevet has their own approach to something. Each individual has his purpose. Each person is going to see it differently. There's a gorgeous word from the Maral. Tefillah to Rechunim Anakana. So you say tefillah before you start learning. The Mishnah says that Rechunim Anakana used to say this before he started davening. Before he started learning. And the Rambam learns that, why is Mishnah telling me this? Because you're supposed to say it. So you daven this tefillah that, you know, the person should not be nichshel b'dvar halacha, v'yismuch v'chaveray, and I shouldn't be nichshel, and that they should be nismuch with me. They shouldn't be nichshel, I should be nismuch with them. So what are we davening about? So we're also like this. The Baruch Hashem made a nature of two individuals that we disagree. We disagree. Right? So if we're learning, and I say A, you're going to say B. That's the way it works. Why does Russia make do that? Because imagine every time I say A, you say A, A. So that's
boring.
That's not learning. But I was learning. I say A, you say no, B. I say, well, why do you think B? Well, you tell me this. I say, no. Then I think a little better. Maybe talk of B. I said, no, I don't think B because I have, you know, because, well, A, right? Because X, Y, and Z. So you said, no, K, M, N, you keep discussing it. My rabbi one time told me, I said, you know, like, sometimes you have these fights, you know, in learning, but, you know, it's a broken record. So he said, told me from some surface. Some surface says, the goal in learning is not to make the other person back down. The goal in learning is to make sure that both individuals have presented their side clearly, and the other person understands their side. After that, you're done. So you don't repeat yourself like 17 times and say the same thing. That's not the point. The point is, if you think of a new argument, you think of a new swara, you think of a new raya, and the other person think about it. So you go back and forth, and that you come clearer and clearer and clearer to the emes. So Bersha made the nature of us that we disagree. He says, now, that means, Zakta Morel, if I say Tor, means the other guy said Tome. Now, if I turn out I'm wrong, the other guy's right. He's so happy. Ah, I got you one. Right? So that's the tefillah of Rechunim. I don't want to be nishav with our loch. The other guy will gloat over me. This is how the morale touches the tefillah. Okay? Right? But the morale says that the Barsha made the nature of us that we're contentious. Klaus was contentious. That's our job. The problem is you're supposed to use it for learning. Right? You're supposed to learn. There's still something to say like this. There's something that said, you know, he said, you know, the search for emes of learning doesn't mean, you know, again, you know, it means you should fight with all of your tooth and nail to find, you know, your pshat is right. The Russia made you with a certain way to look at something, so you see it a certain way, and you have a clarity. Elibrin says you're wrong. She said, well, I have a raya. I hadn't thought before whether I have really a raya. Okay, let's try bringing a raya to it. I bring a raya. The guy argues with my raya. I was like, okay, what about this raya? And you keep working harder and harder to find whether it's true or not. Then you realize after like arguing for half an hour that the other guy's right. So what do you do? He says, that's the second half of learning. You say, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much. Now I know the answer. Most people say, I hear. That's about as far as you're going to say. I mean, you put your kishkas into it. Right? He says, it's not about the Torah Lishmoni, but it's about you. So you can't, I can't give in because, like, you know, I invested the half an hour of me. So I can say, I hear, same him, Wally, you know what? You're right, I'm wrong, thank you so much for teaching me the apples. Okay. That's Tarli Shmo. That's what she says. But the first half, the Russian Madafka made us like that. So, but that being said, we have to have a unifying element. Klaisul is, we have the golem, we're going to be distinct. So I remember I spoke to this Gail, I said, you know, the fact that people disagreed is not a bad thing. Ah, there's no shalom. Shalom is not that everybody just, you know, says, okay, whatever, I'm fine. You know. It's everybody has their opinion. That now the question is, we have to find a way, after everybody truly having a right to have a different view, how do we find a way to work together? But it's not about, like, you know, being levelless. I was, you know, like, what those name of those
lemmings,
right? The Yiddish word is lemmings, right? Oh. Right, you know, one guy goes over the cliff, they go over the cliff. Right, you know, it's not true or not. It's true or not, but, you know, the concept is, you know, that's what it's about. You know, and the Yiddish word, like a guy who gets, you know, whatever, he doesn't have any confidence, he just gives it always, it's called lemmings. It's not being lemmingless. So that's what the golem is about. The golem is about every person is taka unique, he's taka distinct, he is valuable, he has a chashivas, he has a shame, like the subordinate said. Can you imagine 600,000 people, each one had a distinct shame? And can you imagine now they come to our Sinai, kishach ha-belei b'esot? And that's quite an accomplishment. Rashi says every single other time there was contention. I mean, we you know, Jews... You know the argument, the saying goes two Jews, three opinions. I mean, there's a reason. We are contentious people. What the morale is saying, the Russian made us without like that, because that forces us, it's a tremendous vehicle which allows us to get to the end. It means we have a unifying element which allows us to bring us together. But the nakuda that each person is distinct and unique has to be appreciated. Okay, one last thought. So the Mesiva Shalom, you know, touches on this idea again. It's the same idea. The Dagal, it represents each person has. He says that's not only true in the national level, it's true each individual person. He says over here, Kech v'shemayim l'roi v'yeshu kol chayich v'shem etavke miyuchad shalomano b'ro v'kodesh boruch. The Russian created something. He didn't create it for no purpose at all. See, obviously he had a reason. The Russia created me. He created me with my intelligence, my personality, my background, my life experiences. All of that is all part of the reason of what I'm supposed to be. There's a reason. And the result will be that I'm going to look the way I look. The Russia didn't create anything for no purpose at all. So I must, I have value. I must have a reason why I'm here. And what's Mr. Swam, so that's true by the stars, Kosha Mene Yisrael, Amanif Kri Yeshu Golech Miyam Tavke Miyuchot. Even though it sounds like there's so many Yehudim, so you understand that that's wonderful. We're reminded Yeshu Golech Yehudi Yehud Mitzarek Mishaloi. Russia had Shavari Lebro Kodesh Baruch Bechinam Al Shachal Lamal Shlichus Miyusiyam. Everybody's here for a reason. Then he says, we have a Mitzarek from our Rebbeim, how do you know what your Tavke is? How do you know what your Tavke is? So there's the Goyin. The Goyin said this. There's a Gemara in Erevin, which the Goyin in Kohelis shtells on. The Gemara in Erevin says that there was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for 2.5 years, whether it's better men should be created or not be created. Now, at first glance, that's a strange halakhah. The Rosham created us. So how does it say it would be better not to be... The Rosham, listen, we're clear, the Rosham do it right. What it better if the Rosham hadn't done this? I mean, if the Rosham did it, it has to be toiv. Like, what does it mean? And the more came out after 20 years, it's better they should not have been created. Strange Gemara. So the Goyin and the Rosham in Kohelis, it says, "Shemechani esamesim shemesum minacham shrahim chaimadena." I praise the dead people which are dead more than people which are alive, which are still alive. So obviously there's a redundancy in the pasuk. Most people which are dead are dead already. Most who are alive are alive. Shemech is a meisim, yosem min ha'chaim. Shemech is a meisim, asher meisu min ha'chaim, asher heim chaim adenu. What is the pasuk say? So the guy on that pasuk says, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin, he says, the argument was not about the brush from creating man. Of course, it's the time that a human being should be created. The question was, is Gilgal a good idea? You come back a second time, right? What's the mile to come back a second time? You can add more mitzvahs, add more skusim. A person cannot add skusim to his neshama in the Olam Haba, only in this world, right? That's the mile. The downside is you can really you can damage your neshama by coming back. That was the machlokes for 2 years, 2.5 years. Suppose it says, "Mr. Mechani is a meisim, a shemesu." The Gemara came out. It's better not to come back. It's better to finish your tafka the first time around, not have to come back. "Mr. Mechani is a meisim, a shemesu." I prefer the meisim which are dead remain dead. From the ones who are alive are still alive, coming back a second round. That's what the pasuk is referring to. The guy said. So Morris says, okay. So why the Russian send this back? It was better not to come back because we need to fix things. But that's horrible. But you come back and not fix them. Morris says, now what do you do? The Morris is giving us a clue how to find out what our purpose is. That's how the guy understands that Gemara. So what is that clue? If a person looks to, in his life, if there's something that he's drawn either to a mitzvah or to an aveir, that's, if a person can sift through his actions in his life and feel that, that's a siman, that is a siman that is his purpose. Either there's a mitzvah he needs to do or there's an aveir which he needs to be misaken. So a person finds he has a tremendous pull towards a certain Aveira, it's a Raya. That was where his Mokum Tikkun is supposed to be. The Ritzalik says the same thing, and he says the same thing over here. He says, it's a Simon Ladas Ma'a Tafkir Miyuchud, a Dover boy, Hayetzara Miskab, and Boyfan Miyuchud, Oysu Shazel Tafkir Boylam Avura Yoradalam. The Russian sent me here. If the Russian sent me here for a purpose, obviously the Yitzhar's purpose is to challenge me on that. There's another Ramban, the Ramban of Parshas Yisro, the Ramban says that, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu says they came to me. Says that the part of the reason they would come to Moshe was to know what their purpose in life was. Because if you go to the Navi will be able to look at you and tell you what your purpose is. There's a mice that one time a person, I heard a story about a person, that it was a person living, etc. The Chazish told him he should become a first grade Rebbe. So the person became a first grade Rebbe, and that was it. That's his life, first grade Rebbe. The Urim Tumim of the generation told you to be a first grade Rebbe. You're supposed to be a first grade Rebbe. That's it. You know, the Chazish said you're a first grade Rebbe. That's what you're supposed to be. You know, I should become a lawyer? No. I should become a doctor? No. I should become a base manager Rebbe? No. I should get, no. The God of the door told me what I'm supposed to do. You went to the Navi, and Navi looked at you and said, I see you have this is your purpose. You look at your neshama and tell you what your purpose is. It was great. We don't have a Navi anymore, right? But going to Moshe Rabbeinu, if the point of a daggle, the point was that each person would have, the Russian was promising us a way to know. So the Ramban says over there, going to Moshe was part of the function was not just to stop me, you should be Mesim Anubov and give you a bracha. She may Mesim Anubov and understand you and give you a direction. You know, that now it happens to be you know, there's an Arizal which says that the main reason for Gilgal is Chatas Nurim. People are not careful with Shemir Sinayim and the Taiva for Noshim, etc. Different things. So before Mashiach comes, there has to be a Tikkun in that. Mashiach can't come till all the Neshamas go through the process of Gilgal to Misakan the Neshama. So I believe that's why our generation has a tremendous challenge in that area. It's became very, very, very challenging there because the Arab is right before Mashiach. And we need to be dafka challenged and overcome. But Arab, at the point that they're telling us that Arab, that we can overcome. That's why exactly why we're here. It's specifically for this challenge to create a Zahiris and the Yanam of Kedusha and Stias, etc. Is dafka what our purpose is. And each person has his own kinach, what he's challenged with, because each person has his own area. So he's saying it even the first time around. The Gaon's saying it the second time around. Right? That's the difference between the two. He's saying this is the specific purpose of your neshama as it was created, was put in this world for this challenge. So the Yetzer Hara Badafka means you have a tremendous potential for Kedusha. The Yetzer Hara Badafka challenge you in the union of Kedusha. Right? That's what he's saying. The Gaon is saying you blew it in the first time around with Kedusha, so we're going to send you a second time around and challenge you in Kedusha. You should have been able to rectify the damage to your neshama. So the result is the same because we're all googling nowadays anyway, mm-hmm. right? But the where it's coming from is a different point. The result is the same, that every person has a function, and out of where a person finds his biggest kishlinus, he falls the worst. Right? You know, one person has a problem with kas. One person has a problem with kina. One person has a problem with, you know, whatever the problem that he has, he finds that that's really what bothers him. One person finds that he has lashon hara, it's tremendously challenging for him. It means that person, betzim, is meyuyed to be able to be successful in, who was it? I think it was a Mersha, if I recall correctly. So one time, said to a Mersha, that they wish they had like a Mersha's midas, or Mersha's, knowledge, his mind, his midas, etc. He says, you wouldn't want to be me. He says, why not? He says, you'd also get my Yetzer Hara. My Yetzer Hara is... the Mersha made a Yetzer Hara has to balance, right? Mersha finds it also not a Yetzer Hara, but his Yetzer Hara was big enough to take out a Mersha Feinstein. He says, you wouldn't want my Yetzer Hara. He'd beat you to a pulp, right? He's a big, very big, so nobody gets free from this in this world. Okay, I want to just mention that. I just want to tell you one thought, and we have to go already. I heard this once. I think I heard it from Rav Shlomo Shodron in the name of Rabbi Yalapian. I think that's where I heard it from. The Mor says in Kedusha, the Mor says that the Barshim Koyam V'Yam Yitzchak Shalom is Biskaver Lov. Every day the Yetzer Hara comes to overpower the person, and if Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help the person, he would not be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So he said, that's a very strange Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Let's think through the Gemara. The Gemara is like this. Why did Rosh Hashanah create the Yetzer Hara? Yetzer Hara was created for Bechira, which means that I need to be challenged, and then when I choose the right thing, I get reward. Right? The Rosh created, but the Mor tells me that I can't overpower the Yetzer Hara by myself. It means the Rosh created the opponent too strong. So, we have this fight in the ring. We put in the world's heavyweight champion, and you put in a featherweight, level three guy. He's in the minors. It's not a fight; it's a massacre. The whole thing takes about 2 seconds and it's all over. Right? He doesn't even knock into the ring; he just knocks him all the way across the building. That's not a fight. The merchant says, "I'm guaranteeing you that your opponent is so powerful you cannot overcome him. So what's the purpose?" Right? That's the cash on the Gemara. He says, "We got it all wrong. The purpose of the Gemara, the purpose is not to overcome the Yitzhar. The purpose is to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for help." So the person says, so I walk into the ring and I look up and I says, oh my honey, right? Look at this guy coming at me. I can't handle him. Help! And all of a sudden my father, who happened to be the world's, heavyweight champion, comes in and knocks him over. But I didn't ask for help. He ain't coming to help me. That's the Gemara's type. That's Pshat in the Gemara. That's Shat in the Gemara. That's what he said. It's a very good Ha'ara. Right? Because, but the point is, we need to walk into the ring. We got to get into the ring. If you don't get into the ring, you're not going to ask for help. If you're not in the ring, it doesn't not negate. Number one. Number two, we need to ask for help. But if you think you're going to overcome it by yourself, you're going to become a Balgaiva. I'm such a big tzaddik. So it doesn't work. The Yetzer Hara won. So you walk in and you say, I can't overcome. I have this tafkid miyuchid, and I find it challenging, and I need help. I can't do it. So ask for help. The Kotzker says that, that the Kobalei Shemayim Chutz Miyur Shemayim. Right? So Pashat means, we don't Pashat. He says, no, it means something else. Kabbalah Shemayim when a person davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's up to the Baruch Hu to decide yes or no. It's B'nai Shemayim. Chutz Yir Shemayim. When a person asks for Yir Shemayim, the Baruch Hu has to say yes. It's not in his hands to say no. It's Pasha, not Pasha Pshayit. It's a Sefer Chassidim. Mamash, the Sefer Chassidim says that there's a Haftach from Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you daven for Siyata Shemayim in Ruchlius, you'll be answered. Gashim, yes, yes, no, maybe. But Yadav and Rukli is guaranteed to be answered. It's what Sefer Chassidim says. That's this Gemara. This Gemara is saying, but that's, I don't know, but this is the process. The process is you're going to have me challenge a certain area. You're going to see this big guy coming at you with his gloves on. And you're going to scream for help. And you're going to get helped. And that is the purpose in life.